crimes. So were the crimes all concentrated in the inner city? They're like, yeah! Who was in the inner city? I don't know. Who was? Ratchet-ass German Shepherd single moms. There were no fathers. Oh, got it. They finally figured it out. It's like, Jesus, people. This isn't hard.
Yeah.
All right.
That's going to be the new horror flick, though. Is that when these angry German Shepherds attack.
And twerk you to death.
And just literally twerk on you. I want you to imagine, right? And we'll get into this in the show.
You could do song parodies. Twerk on me.
Oh yeah.
Twerk on me.
Well, I mean, Kalia, let me ask you this. What if a horror movie was starring Lizzo, or at least Lizzo's body double, which might be more frightening than Lizzo herself? And what if Lizzo literally twerked on your face till you died? That was like, you just got smothered to death by twerk, right?
Oh.
Yeah, that would definitely happen.
So, Drex, there is a story of a mountain climber who fell off a mountain very close to where I live. 3,300 feet he fell. And even that is not as bad a death as getting smothered by a lizard.
At least it's quick. I mean, you feel it on the way down. You're like, you're thinking like, this is the end.
It's beautiful though.
It's gonna look pretty when you see Lizzo's ass cheeks go like this, and it's like, I mean, I don't know if you saw the picture. Klee, did you see the picture of Lizzo at a concert recently where she had busted it wide open?
And
it looked like burnt up taco meat. You know what I'm saying? Burnt up looking thighs,
cottage cheese.
Like, it's like, could you imagine that falling on you? Just. To death, right? Like, it get all up in your nostrils, right? You just...
That'd be a bad way to go.
And you just, in your last moments, you'd be like, what did I do, God? What did I do to deserve this shit? Right?
A new type of Chinese water torture with her ass crack sweat.
Just sweat, just dripping all, like...
Oh.
You'd be like, just kill me. Your tormentors would be sitting there like laughing. She's like, no, you haven't earned a quality death. We're just going to let you keep letting this booty sweat drip on you.
All right. With that cold open, I'm going to start the intro. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 84 of the MGTOWN Podcast, your only weekly source for Lizzo talk that never gets boring. As usual, I'm producer Tim. Joining me is the mayor of MGTOWN, Drexel. Say hi.
Hello, everybody. Hope everyone had a good weekend because we are back with a special guest, Miss Kalia. Introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. I am Kalia. One of Nick's. Nick Ricada's mods, I guess, is how I'm known on the internet. So,
the internet.
Thank
world.
You for inviting me on.
Yeah, well, you know, because I had always seen you in the chat when I would be on Nick's show, and you had mentioned horror movies, which, of course, when I was growing up, the two genres that were the first genres I fell in love with were horror and action, right? Mm-hmm. And the inspiration for this very episode in getting you on was because. Now that we're fully engaged in clown world, right? We're fully ingrained, right? We're in the clown world now, and everyone's suffering. Everyone's miserable because they look around and like, bro, this world just keeps getting worse, right? Like, we're at a point where if someone sends you a GIF or a headline, you don't know if it's trolling or if it's real anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time back in the 90s, even the early 2000s, where you know someone could send you certain stuff like... they have, I think Nick covered there was a little, was it like a school with sex toys and a masturbation camp or something they had?
Oh, that might have been it, yeah.
Yeah, that place.
Was it like a middle school or a college?
I can't, it might be like a whole separate deal, but like it was for young kids though. Like, I don't mean like, you know, adults, I'm talking young kids.
It was like 12, I think it was like
12. Yeah, it was really young.
Yeah.
And Nick was like, all these people can go up against the wall. But Kalia... had you said this in the 80s, everyone would have known you were joking, right? Like, no, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
In the 90s, like, they would still investigate, like, well, if they are doing this, we need to go ahead and just make some extra space on the wall. But here we are in 2022, where degeneracy and deviancy reign supreme, and the world, I'm sure you would agree, has become more horrific than what we see on the silver screen.
Yes, it is. It's probably because horror has gotten worse.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, you think about this, right? Your average slasher flick, right? Save for the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre with the infamous bus scene. Save that one. Your average horror flick, your body count is about 10, right? That's kind of like your... Because, you know, you have to introduce to the characters, right? All right, Khalil, we got these people that we just met. Here's their relationships. All right, now, you know, the killer has to go ahead and eat them one by one, right? Yet now we're into something that's even more disturbing where people are saying, yo, I'm the masked yeeter, and I'm just going to go ahead and pump people full of rounds, right? 18 bodies, 28 bodies, blow some shit up. It's like, bro, like, this is how you spend your time? Like, you know, from a movie perspective, it's escapism. You know, we like to be, you know, I think fear is like the most obvious, easiest emotion to trigger. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, hell, I mean, you can walk down a dark alley and hear something, but, you know, there's not too many other things that really go with that. But
dark forest, and then you hear like a branch snap.
You hear a branch snap, you're like, oh shit. Because you're on high alert, right? Like, it's one of the few times where your senses heighten, right? It's like when you go through Gary, Indiana, your senses heighten. You pull up to a stoplight, which you shouldn't do. You pull up to a stoplight in Gary, Indiana, Kalia, and you look around. Shit, shit. Make sure you don't get jacked or shot or stabbed.
Oh, man.
Right? You know, Gary Indiana's no joke, right? It's like going to Baltimore, any of these other crazy shithole cities, right?
And you realize, too, like, a squirrel snapping a branch sounds like an elk snapping a branch when it's dark outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, your eyes and ears, hell, your senses deceive you. Now, Kalia, I gotta ask you this, though. What was your introduction to horror flicks?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think what would be first horror. Well, let's see. Gosh, that's a... It would probably be, well, it'd be movies. I also worked in a haunted house when I was a teenager. Yeah, I love scaring people.
Of course. So were you the prankster then?
No, I wasn't a prankster, but I just loved, I really liked working in the haunted house.
Of course.
Because I liked making grown men cry. Uh-huh. It's just funny to see people's fears.
By the way, there's... Ken wants to talk to you if you like making grown men cry.
Oh, God. Bailey J over Lizzo.
Yeah, well, let's see. Intro to horror movies. I'm trying to even remember what it would have been. I mean, well, my intro would probably be Goosebump books is what I grew up first. That would probably be my first. Those.
Good old Arnold Stein.
Yeah, that'd probably be my first intro to horror would be Goosebumps books.
What do you think about the escalation, right? Because, like, you think about when you start off with anything, right? It doesn't matter what it is. You start off with something, and, you know, that fits your imagination for that time. It's the reason why young kids will watch something very terrible like Teletubbies. But then, like, as they age, their mind starts to be able to handle more, right? More. And you start, you know, they graduate to like La La, Loopsy, I think it is, My Little Pony. They start watching, you know, Ninja Turtles. Like, they keep going, right? Horror is the same way because, you know, as like, let's say you're 6, 7, 8 years old, even 10, you're reading an R.L. Stein book and that kind of like fits your imagination, right? And then slowly but surely you kind of get interested when you see like a movie trailer. You think, damn, Khalil, what the hell is that? And, you know, it looks scarier than just, you know, because now you're seeing those images. It's not just, you know, someone, you know, you read the little prologue or something, right? Mm-hmm. So you hop into that. And what do you think about the escalation of your interest in horror?
Well, I think, I know Shudder also helped. Do you guys?
Oh, the channel?
Shudder, the streaming?
Yeah. I remember that channel.
Shudder is cool. So you're saying, like, you're asking what my escalation of how, like, my love of horror has been.
Well, no, like the intensity of the content. So it's like, you know, Arnold Stein books is not what you're going to read now, right? Like, you're going to look for something more hardcore.
Oh, yeah. Hang on a second. Before you answer that, are you on the correct mic?
Really? I shouldn't be. Hold on. Audio. Uh-oh. Hold on.
All right. How about now?
Oh, now you sound so
great. There we go.
What the hell? Dude, my thing keeps on like defaulting to that. I have no clue why it keeps doing that, but that's weird. I got to keep checking that from now on every time.
Yeah.
No, but so Kalia, when it comes to like that escalation, right? Like you start off reading like Arl Stein, and then you start getting into like more serious stuff, right? Where it'd be like Paranormal Activity. Like what is the thing, the kind of things that like do it for you? Is it like the supernatural horror? Is it the slasher?
Well, gosh, it'd be a little bit of everything. I'm kind of, that's my problem, is I have too many things that I love, so there's not enough time to watch it all. I like the Conjuring universe I really like.
You know, I think the first one was easily the best one.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I just didn't like part two at all. Like, it felt so boring.
Really?
And so, like, I think one of the main things that horror movies get wrong is pacing, right? Mm-hmm. You got to have the right pacing. I think Conjuring 2's pacing was just terrible. And it kind of set the movie up to just kind of be like a drag. Like, it's one of those movies that, like, when you look at the runtime, whatever it is, it feels like it was 2 hours longer than that.
Yeah, I could see that.
It just dragged. There it was in England. It just dragged. It's like, oh, this fucking movie.
What about Insidious ones? Those are also some of my favorites.
I liked the first one. Wasn't a fan of the second one. I remember I think the Last Key I remember was pretty solid. I think that's the one it was called, right? The Last Key.
I don't think it was the Last Key that you liked. Was it?
It's one of those. Do you remember when the first Insidious came out, right? That was after James Wan had partaken in the Saw franchise, which we got into the gore, right? Because, like, you know, horror movies were gory, but they were never like, you know, they were calling it torture prawn back then, right? They're like, oh my God, this is so horrible. It's just, you know, as a horror fan, you wanted to see, you know, you went for the guts and glory, right? Literally.
Oh, yeah. Saw is one of my favorite series. I've watched those through probably five or so times.
Well, the movies themselves, actually, like, in terms of, like, an actual good movie, they're not good movies. It's the money shots that you live for, right? Like,
yeah.
It's the death scenes. Like, the money shots in Saw are epic. I mean, I won't lie. Like,
they are.
You know,
they're brutal.
You just want to see, like, the contraptions, right? You're like, you know, what crazy pickle are that set of protagonists going to be in? And let me ask you this, though. What is your personal favorite?
Of the Saw movies?
No, of horror movies in general.
Oh, gosh. Favorite horror movie. What's yours while I'm thinking of mine?
So for me, it was always the original Halloween. It's because when I was a kid, the mask is what grabbed me, right? As the shape. If you can think back, you know, I remember, you know, I'm born in the early 80s, and, you know, also all of these movies had already existed, right? You just went to a rental store, and they were, you know, most of the movies were out. There's still a couple more that need to be released up until then. But by 1990, you know, all of your horror icons had already been around, right? Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Chucky, like, these guys were around. And Michael Myers, it was because of the music, right? The piano key just stuck more than Jason going, like, you know, and then you had Freddy. It's like, you know, they had like the little cord just going, dun, you know, jump scare stuff, right?
Yeah, jump scares are...
They get cheesy, right? They get cheap. Mm-hmm. And then Freddy, after the first one, became more comedy, right? Michael Myers was never comedy. You know what I'm saying? There was never a time until Busta Rhymes entered the fray. We don't talk about that one. That never happened. But that was kind of like the thing. It was like I want to see it. And if you guys remember, this was when the killer became the Saw, right? It was a slasher movie. You know, because I mean, after Norman Bates and Psycho, what came next? That's when you started getting all the, you know, the Halloweens. And over time, you as an audience went to go see, and this kind of goes into what you were saying with Saw. How are the people going to get it this time, right?
Yeah. And what and
that became the thing.
Yeah, what's their thinking of getting through the trap? It's mm-hmm. I always thought of what would I do in that situation. Yeah, it would. Halloween is top three probably of all time for me as well. There's just nothing like the original Halloween.
No,
it's too iconic.
It's so iconic. Just all the lines, you know, just the way Michael Myers, and plus the walk, right? Because he was using the stunt man to walk. The walk just sells it, right? Because it's mm-hmm. a very unique walk that Michael has in the original that, like, it never is quite replicated, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, there's something about when masks get put on. You know, Khalil, I want to ask you this. When it comes to, like, the real-life horror of society, when people put masks on usually, right? And then what do you think about the people that you know, conceal their identity when they do horrific acts versus the people who say, I'm just going to go out here with my regular face and go do something crazy?
Yeah, the ones that are hiding their faces. Well, you could look at it a bunch of different ways because Michael, he was hiding it. I mean, well, what do you think? Why was Michael hiding his face? Is it?
Well, for the movie, it works. I think mm-hmm. in real life, it boils down to having a mask on. Basically, it absolves you of your identity, right? It's almost like I didn't do it until I'm unmasked, like in Scooby-Doo, right? Because until then, mm-hmm. you remember, he's just the shape, right? He doesn't even have a name, just the shape. So if someone decides they're about to go on a yeeting spree and they put on a mask or they gear up in camouflage or something, right? Mm-hmm. In their mind, they're a tool. You see what I'm saying? I'm a tool to do what I want to do. So when they hear about it on the news, think about it. If you don't have a face, what is it? Masked shooter does blank, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, somebody came into the sorority house and yeeted for co-eds. Because see, no one is seeing you, right? You're it's always a sneak attack, right? Because these guys mm-hmm. are normally small built, except for like in terms of like size, that's another thing about the movies. Leatherface was always the physically biggest, followed by Jason, right? And then Freddy was very skinny.
Yeah.
And I think that really matters, right? Like the physical prowess, because like as an audience, when you see Leatherface, you know that human beings aren't taking him. You see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You fight, you know, you take Leatherface head on, automatic, you're going to get yeeted, right? Automatic. Mm-hmm. Jason, because he had super strength, same with Michael Myers, right? The direct path usually led to you getting sunsetted. Now, I got to ask you this, though. They commodify. And here's the thing. I think this is also true of our society. The rise of the slasher flick. They started commodifying the killer, right? And that's what created more and more sequels. Remember before, it was like, hey, you can kill off the villain, the masked killer, at the end, and then it's over, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened? They start with Halloween, they started realizing, no. Don't get rid of the killer. Just keep on having him live so we can keep making sequels. I think you start to see this in society now where because they give so much attention to the crazies, you get more crazies, right? That's a kind of like the sequel, right?
Yeah.
When's the next school incident, right? Isn't that kind of where we're at now?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I also look at people today anyways that wear masks. Some of them, I look at them as cowards because it's like, why aren't you showing your face?
Yeah.
But to them,
you mean like the little COVID mask, or do you mean something else?
I just mean like, yeah, just covering their faces when they're committing crimes.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, it's like, well, I mean, let's face it. If you don't put a pantyhose around your face and you decide today is the day, Klee, I'm about to go rob this damn bank. Well, if someone can look at you and be like, yo, that's Marcus. Oops.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can't spend the money that you got. The reason you're committing the crime is to gain something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they can identify you, then they can now bring you to justice, where you know most people don't want to be brought
unless
to justice.
Unless you're in California, and then you don't get any.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they issue you an apology, right? We're sorry we didn't have more stuff for you to steal.
Yeah, right.
God, that place is so done. It's so done. But now I want to ask you this, though. When it comes to a lot of the behaviors that we're seeing out here in society, like the thing is, like, you know, we talk about how sometimes these movies kind of take inspiration from real world, right? Mm-hmm. How long before you think horror movies start to like emulate current events, right? Like the incel guy or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of angle in the movies.
You mean like people starting to take inspiration from horror?
Or no, the horror taking inspiration from real life in the sense of...
Oh yeah, like that one, what was that one horror that came out recently? I haven't seen it where it's... what was that one called where they... I remember you commenting about it too. It came out earlier this year. I can't remember the name of it now. Ooh, but yeah, it took inspiration on like what's happening in the world today, but mm-hmm. it bombed. Was it the... Not like the Bye Bye Man, but something like the Bye Bye Man, but it wasn't that. You know what I mean? It was... I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't even know what I would Google for that.
But, Bye Bye Man and other suggestions.
But yeah, they are taking that. And I think horror movies today are... They focus too much on like jump scares and loud noises. And it's just... It really cheapens... And it's just not, horror today is just not like it used to be. That's how it is in any movie, but industry, but yeah, it's too bad. Cause it makes me sad on all the movies we could have gotten today.
Right.
If we didn't have wokeness and bad writing and.
Yeah. Who are you telling?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's crazy though. Is it like, so. I've oftentimes talked about the romanticism of the old school. And I think there was something about horror movies, like all movies, but like going to a rental store and comparing notes on horror movies, there's just a vibe to it, right? Because like the box mm-hmm. covers mattered back then, right? You would go into a store, you know, your Mr. Movies, your Blockbuster, wherever, and you would sit there in that aisle, right? And you would sit there and be like, Clea, wait, look at this one. And the horror section is where, I mean, I think like people naturally gravitated toward, right? It's October and you're sitting there, you're like, what the hell is Puppet Master, right? Because that's how most people got into horror, right? They would go up and down the aisles. They couldn't figure out what to watch. They're down in the horror aisle and you just start like looking at the box cover, right? And like, especially when you start seeing sequels, I think that's mm-hmm. one of the beauties of sequels is that like, well, hey, this movie has to be something if it had, you know, four or five sequels, right? Even you know, The Howling never happened because those movies sucked. But
that reminds me of like movie posters, like you're talking about like movie covers. Like it's like any movie poster today, it's like they have to have every single person that's in there, like just their face on there. And it just looks so generic.
It does.
It's all the same. And like growing up in the 90s, looking at, you know, Blockbuster and during Halloween, like you said, you would just see the cool like movie covers on the VHSs, and mm-hmm. you would just pick the movie because of how cool the artwork was.
Oh, on the front, that was the best! Like
it was.
Wanting and craving more, I think was mm-hmm. like one of the best things, right? Because like now, when you watch a trailer, it gives you everything. Like it you said, does. The box art shows you. Hell, the box art might even say, and the name of the killer in the movie, and then like in parentheses, it has the person's name, right? Ruin the suspense. Mm-hmm. It's like. Are you going to like just like, I remember when Scream came out, right? Nobody knew who the killer was in Scream. Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, because it kept faking you out. You just didn't know. Because it was obviously mm-hmm. a dissection of the entire genre, right? And they had like the kind of like a sarcastic bent to it. But it was like, when you picked up that box, do you remember? Like, yes, the front cover of Scream did show everybody's face.
Mm-hmm.
But there were other posters where like it was just Ghostface's picture, right? Scream in theaters, whatever. You're like, ooh, but the other one, yeah, like the main one did show like, you know, Drew Barrymore, Neve Campbell, everybody.
Yeah.
And then Ghostface is in the background. But like here's the thing though, knowing who the protagonists are doesn't matter. You want to know, what am I getting into? One of the things I loved about back then was that like they could shock you because I remember I was in homeroom and it was my homeroom teacher who had made the comment about, you know, I think she was like she and her boyfriend went to go see the movie. So she's talking about it. Of course, the teen girls were talking about it because, you know, Courtney Cox is in it. She was on Friends at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was something, Kalia. The idea that you walk into a theater, and this hadn't, like, I think up until that point, it hadn't been done since Psycho. You walk in, and Drew Barrymore gets yeeted in the first, like, what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, it's
you,
quick.
You were prepared for that, right? Like, I mean, that, that just didn't happen in movies. Like, normally, you see stars. Okay, the star is safe because they're a star, right? They got plot armor. Yep. You walk into that, and you're like, okay, so Drew Barrymore's popping popcorn. Okay, she gets a phone call. You're thinking like, oh, she's going to make it. You know, this is just a scary opener. When she finally eats it, you're like, wait, what? Like, that can't happen. That's Drew Barrymore, right? And then, like, it set the stage. Like, if Drew Barrymore can get eaten, everyone is fair game now, right? And that's missing, right? Like, I think that element of surprise, like, the element of surprise, like, even in our society, like, when we look at the news, you and I are never surprised, right? Mm-mm. Oh, look, something horrible happened. Because we're desensitized, right?
Yep.
There's no, like, I think you need that shock of, like, oh, that caught me off guard. You know, that was out of left field. There's no left field stuff anymore. It's just kind of like ho-hum, ho-hum, which is kind of sad, actually.
It is. And they show all the best parts in the trailers nowadays.
Don't they always?
They show the best kills. Comedy. Even with Halloween, even Michael Myers with Halloween Kills and stuff with the new ones, they even showed the best stuff in the trailers.
Which they should never do. Like,
they shouldn't.
Do you think they need to, like, figure out, like, new trailer people, because, you know, a director makes a movie, but I'm assuming directors are on cutting up the trailer. So it's like, do you think there needs to be, like, a bigger emphasis on that? Like, hey man, we need to get, how do we get people interested in our movie yet don't show them too much to get them to say, hey, let me just see what this movie's about, right?
Yeah, I think so. Do you remember District 9? Do you remember the trailer they had for that?
Didn't show
it
much.
Was like, it didn't, it, I still remember it today because it was like, you could see, like, the aliens were coming, like, the big ship was coming down to Earth, and it was, like, they were communicating with them, and it was this weird language, and it wasn't even in English. It was some alien language, and you were just like, what is this? And that was it. There wasn't, like, some, it was, like, really quick. It was, like, a 30-second thing, I remember.
Oh,
and it just, like, I was like, what is, actually, it was a really good movie, I thought.
I think the TV spots do a better job than the trailer, because I think I went to go see, I don't know if you saw the movie 10 Cloverfield Lane, right? That movie really worked just because it didn't give you that much, right?
It didn't,
You went in, you went, wait, what is this about? And someone goes, yo, what is this movie about, Clea? You're like, I don't know, it just kind of looked cool.
Yeah.
That's all I want to know when I go to the movies, right? Is, I don't know, but it looked cool. You know, we were talking earlier in the Discord, when the original Matrix came out, if you asked somebody what it was about, no one knew, right? Because, you know, the trailer gave you nothing. It just, you know, you saw something that looked cool. It said The Matrix coming out this day. You went, man, that looks cool. I don't even know what that's about. Let's go. And you know, I think you're talking earlier about the wokeness. Something that I think is coming from horror movies is also kind of like true of society at large. We lost our faith, right? We used to have faith that, like, you know, you could, you got a little bit from the trailer. You trusted whoever that studio was or whoever enough to say, I'm willing to take a chance on you and pay my money, and I'm pretty sure that this should at least be decent, right? Now, with between wokeness and 5,000 sequels and remakes, you're just kind of like, eh, no, it's just going to be the same old, right?
Well, and the problem is normies. Normies are the issue. They'll see anything. They're and the number one argument they always tell me is like, well, just be grateful we even have it. And it's like, no, well, I would rather not have it.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What do you think about normie standards in general, like in movies and in life?
They haven't, they don't really have any standards at all. They just want to consume, and they're just grateful that they have, like, zero, because they just think, oh, we get it, so at least we get something. Yep. You know, back when, like, X-Men and stuff, those movies came out, we didn't have, like, 20 billion superhero TV shows and everything. It's just... And streaming is actually also, I think, well, the coof is to blame for, you know, streaming, because streaming is focused more on quantity, not quality.
Yeah, which
is sad. That's the problem, is we've got that, and so they just keep trying to put just too many shows and not, except Netflix. Did you ever see The Haunting of Hill House on Netflix, show?
Wait a minute.
You should.
Haunted.
It's great.
This might be the. I'm 90% sure I saw this. I'm about to check it right now.
And then they had the second one, the Bly House Manor one, I think was the second one. And I don't know if I've seen the second one, which I should.
Nope, I didn't see this one. I saw another haunted house thing. Cat introduced me to it. They made sequels, but it was actually, it's like a found footage, but it actually worked.
Oh, okay. Was it on Netflix?
It was on Amazon. God, I wish I could remember what the hell it was called.
Oh, found footage.
Yeah, it was a found footage
ones are tough for me because the shaky cam sometimes.
I know. This one didn't do it too much, though. I'll be fair. That's good. Actually was decent with that. Now, speaking of the found footage, though, let me ask you this. Technology and horror, right?
Mm-hmm. So that's what ruined it.
I think that you can have this. This is all based on execution, right?
Yeah.
Lack of technology has a way of being scary, but like you can have technology and still be scary. I just think it's easier to have lack of it because like then it's like, well, hey, you don't have that cell phone to, you know, call. Because I think the more technology, the more plot contrivances you need to get rid of the technology. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like, oh, my phone battery's, of course the battery's always dead, or the signal's out, or, you know, because you get to come up with all these things. It's like, okay, hold on. The character used their phone throughout the movie, and now all of a sudden, you know, the signal's down. Like, eh. But what do you think about that? Like, just the nature of having technology in these movies?
Yeah, if it's, I know that there was one where it did do it well, where it was, like, through a webcam, and, like, the crime happened on the webcam and stuff. Like, I can't remember the name of it, but the...
Was that Oculus?
And, like, the... I don't know. Well, like, so the dad was Asian, and he was trying to find what happened to his daughter, and it was, like...
Is that the one with John Cho?
Might have been.
What the hell? I can, like, vision it right now. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I heard about it, but never saw it.
Yeah, I remember seeing that one, and it was better than what most of the ones are today. But yeah, that's the problem, is technology is too, you know, everyone's got a cell phone, a smartphone. It's just, that's why I think horror needs to go back. Like, they can make horror today, but make it be from the 70s or the 80s back
the
when.
The period
or
piece.
Even 50s. Yeah, I think we need more of those because technology just, it's not, you can't compare it. Like in Halloween, like we were talking about at the beginning, technology would just ruin that movie. You know, if they could just, I don't know, hurry and call someone real quick and get the whole neighborhood, you know, there or something. I don't know. But
you have more outlets, right? Like, and I think that's kind of the irony is, okay, so in the real world, it's like this weird thing where we have all these outlets, all this outreach. We have the internet. We have all these tools, right? Yet crazy stuff still happens. And like, I think this is one of the ways that I think that they can evolve the genre. How is it? And this is why I said that I think they can start pulling off real life events. In the real world, you can have all the technology you want, highest, fastest internet. But when someone's going to do something crazy and evil, you really don't have any protection from that, right?
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, think about it. You're at school and someone does something crazy. You're at a sorority. You're at a basketball game. Wherever you are that someone wants to, or, you know, you're at, you know, late night at work, right? There are so many places and ways for people to get to you. I'm sure you remember that movie called The Strangers, right?
Yes.
You go up to the cabin. You think everything is good. People break into your house, right? Wearing creepy masks. Like, in the real world, what are you really going to do, right? I mean, the cops are, you know, kind of like with Get Out. You're so far away from where help could be that in and of itself is kind of terrifying, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember in Get Out, you know, the cell wasn't, like, I think his cell worked. And he had access to the outside world, but it was like his environment was so bizarre and creepy that, like, you know, the audience is trying to piece that together. And I think that's one of the things about with horror. Like, my daughter's watching that show, Stranger Things, right?
I haven't seen it. I need to, though.
It's definitely worth it. I was binging with her. She wanted to cuddle up and watch some of that, eat popcorn, I think we were eating. And one of the things is, though, it's set in the 1980s, right?
Yeah.
So because of that, you take away all of that technological advancement to, like, further the plot. Like, because if a kid disappeared in the 1980s, you were kind of done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nowadays you're like this. Kid missing, or I heard something. You can record it. You can take a snapshot of something and figure, you know, you can just, everything can be quicker, right? Like, how many times have you just been sitting there minding your own business? you're online, and then Amber Alert, right?
Yep. Yep.
Well, in the 80s, there was no Amber Alert, right? Like, yeah. If a kid wound up missing, yeah, good luck.
You had people putting the papers on all
papers
the
up, yeah,
stuff. Like, yeah, and like little numbers, like that you'd have to rip off and take home, and
rip off, take home, or write it down. You know, I saw the hotline, America's Most Wanted. Now, when it comes to like the modern flicks, right? Because we know that, like you said, showing off, the old school with the modern budgets and everything is one thing. But what modern horror flicks have stood out to you?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be just movies. Can it be TV as well?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, well, then Evil is a TV show that is on Paramount Plus that has really stood out to me. It's on its third season. Yeah, so Evil is about, it's really interesting. So you've got a priest, well, he's a priest in training at the beginning. And then you have the technological guy, Ben, and then you've got Kristen, and she is actually the psychologist. And so Evil, it has different cases each episode about, like, is this actually, like, a possession, or is this psychological? And it's really, really, really well done. Like, I highly recommend if you guys
Luke Cage in there.
Well, is that Luke? Oh wait, is that the guy?
Yeah, who plays that's Luke my Cage? Culture.
Okay.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen Luke Cage because I heard it wasn't good, so I didn't.
It's very meh.
Yeah, but and there's just the way it is written really well. Like there are, I mean, everything's got a little bit of wokeness in it, which sucks.
Mm.
That's what. But to me, especially the first to me, there really isn't too much. Second season, there were two episodes that got really woke and I was like, dang it. But Evil would be one. What else is there? Well, I actually just watched The Exorcist show. That one's a few years old now.
Too bad, the series?
Yeah, so it was it goes right after like The Exorcist. Like it has the same characters that it was from the movies. It was a two season show. Second season was not good at all, but I mean, I still wanted to. It was just two seasons. The first season was really well done, though.
Hmm.
So yeah, so it's the little girl in The Exorcist is now a mom in the show, The Exorcist. So yeah, I would say the first season's worth watching. Second season, no, you don't even need to watch the second season. You really don't, because they don't leave it on too big of a cliffhanger. Yeah, it's too bad, though, on that one. Trying to think what other shows that are now that I love.
I remember my brother watched American Horror Story. He showed it to me.
Yeah.
One thing I loved about it, and I'm not a TV watcher, was I remember he showing it to me, and I like the idea of an anthology. He was just showing me like various seasons. I saw like the Freak Show, Carnival One.
I just barely started American Horror Story over. I've only seen season four, which is like the circus one.
Yep. I just
finished season one. I'm on halfway through season two. So I've just started because I haven't seen most of it.
Well, it's so different to have an anthology because like I think that it really works well. I was reading an article about the Resident Evil games, and they were talking about they should start doing that rather than have them all interconnected. Like, just allow each game to be like its own thing, right? And that way you don't get stale. Yeah.
That's what I have been saying for years. I'm like, I really like limited series.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, how all these streaming services want to put out so many things. And then stuff gets canceled. It's good. The stuff that's really good gets canceled. And then that's bad. Yeah. And to me, it's like if they would just do one season, like 12 episodes, like no more than 12 episodes.
Yep.
Because like when you have shows that, you know, like Supernatural, it's all right. I mean, it's fine. But there's like 22 episodes and there's like at least like five of those or at least are filler episodes. And it's like, if you can just keep it to, you know, like American Horror Story does just about 12 episodes or 13 and they keep it tight and the writing's really well. If you just keep going and going, I think I just wish we had more. I wish we had more of those. or just the short limited series.
Well, I think it's better for the audience too, because it's like, okay, so from a production standpoint, it's gonna, you know, the fewer episodes you have, the cheaper your series is.
That
right?
too, yeah.
So that's why, like, I remember when I never saw the show, but everyone told me that True Detective season one was really great.
And I haven't seen it either.
They're using the budget wisely, because, like you said, they're not just making a bunch of seasons, a bunch of shows for no reason. It's like, no, we're gonna do this and make the quality over quantity. And you know, when I think about like a lot of modern horror flicks, I think the ones that succeed are the ones that basically it's the premise that has to stand out, right? There has to be a premise that we haven't seen before. I thought It Follows, which is kind of like suspense horror, I think really sells it, because like it was something new. We hadn't seen that kind of an angle before, right?
That's on my watch list. Should I see it?
Oh, definitely. It's definitely worth seeing. It should scare kids out of having relations with each other, that's for sure. But I remember the movie The Descent with the girls, right? Chicks with picks. They're getting trapped in the cave. I think you need just different kinds of concepts, because like we've seen like just like, you know, the brooding masked killer thing a million times in slasher
movies. Slashers are just, yeah, there's too many.
There's played out. They're easy, right? They're cheap.
They're easy, yeah.
The Paranormal Activity movies kind of like revolutionized horror, because like up until that point, we hadn't really done the whole like, Blair Witch did it, right? You know, first, the whole found footage. But like,
you like Blair Witch, though?
Here's the thing. When I think I saw it with Nick, right? I believe Blair Witch would have worked better in the modern era as like a found footage short film, right? But because of the runtime, you lose the tension. You lose a lot of that kind of stuff, right? Because it just goes on so long.
Yeah, it did.
Like the concept does work though, right? Just the found footage concept, and that was brand new back then, right? I think it was 98 or 99. No one had really seen something like that, right? So people were like, wait, is this real? Like, I mean, because up until that point, you know, when have you ever seen a horror movie that was just filmed like, oh, we're just, you know, walking through the woods with a camera, you know? So people were like, I mean, I remember when the movie ended, right? When the dude's in the corner, people legitimately were convinced this might have been a real movie, bro. Like, did they just get the rights to, you know, release this shit? Because this is before the internet was really big. And it's like, you know, I want to ask you, what do you think about before the internet has gotten to, you know, obviously it's bloated now. What do you think about just like the internet and the coverage, not just of what's horrible in our society, but also in movies, of like, there's no sense of discovery anymore, right? Like, there's no, the word of mouth is kind of gone.
What do you mean the word of mouth is gone with social?
So here's the thing. So back in the day, right? I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
The Sixth Sense came out in theaters, right?
Yeah.
That movie was in theaters for like a year because of word of mouth. Today, do you know what happens? Oh my God, we're going to just bombard you with the TV spots and the trailers and more trailers.
Oh,
you have access to the trailer. It's like, if you want to see a trailer for a movie, you can just watch the trailer. Back in the day, you only saw the trailer when you went to the movies, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So you didn't. So someone had to tell you, no, Kalia, there's this movie coming out called The Sixth Sense. I saw a trailer when I was in another movie. It looks good. And you went, okay, yeah, maybe I'll remember. Maybe you won't, right? By the time The Sixth Sense comes out, people start watching it and watching it and watching it. And you started hearing about it, see? First week sales did not dictate whether or not a movie was going to get pulled out of theater in a week.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So Silence of the Lambs was like this. It was allowed to build an audience. We are in a society now of instant gratification where, I mean, think about it. Every movie now is about your first week, right? Well, how much are you making first week sales, right? $400 million. But then you notice that cliff, right? A lot of these movies, other than like Top Gun and some others, they drop off a cliff after that first week, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so someone goes, well, Kalia, what happened? Why is it that these movies now make the money up front, right? They're front loaded, and then poof, they drop off a cliff.
Technology.
It's technology.
People are recording it. There's, you know, sales.
Oh, God, the bootleg. You have everything right as it happens.
Well, that's probably why, like, even if a company, like, put a trailer only in theaters like they did back in the day, that's the problem. People would just record it and put it online, and then it's online. That's another thing that they're missing. We're missing fresh ideas, you know, like with movies in general. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think when it comes to ideas, you know, someone had told me the Ripaverse got launched, I think, this week. And it's good that to start seeing people create, because, like, let's face it, we talk about the original Halloween. That original Halloween is a 100% independent movie. Mm-hmm. You know, these are all basically like renegades, right? It's a mom and pop operation. These aren't people that you know tend to know, right? There's no big names other than Donald Pleasance. So do you think we're going to get like a resurrection of the indie creators?
I sure hope so. I mean, seeing how successful Ripaverse is, I mean, 1,000,024 hours that he's made on that comic.
That's crazy.
It's awesome.
That's crazy. That's great. I'm so happy for him, man, because in an era of woke, mm-hmm. Blade Devil, shout out to my man RGE, Raging Golden Eagle came out with Blade Devil, so I think someone saw that they got their copy. I definitely got to get one for myself. Ripa's doing his thing, but it's like, you know, what do you think about just like that nature of like betrayal from like the major studios, right? Because like they kind of, you know, whether it be comic book movies, whatever, the big studios kind of betray the audience, and that kind of like, you know, allows a door to open for that indie creator, right?
Oh, definitely. They're only catering to one side of the fence, it seems. They're attacking fans. You know, you used to never see Hollywood actors like attacking fans on Twitter and stuff, because we didn't have Twitter back in the day. So it's like, it's shocking, because it's like, you're an actor, you're paid to play this character. Like, who are you to, you know, attack fans? Like, I would think you would get fired for something like that if you're going to go out and start. I mean, I don't want anyone to get fired, but it's crazy to me that they're allowed to get away with it. Like Gina Carano, she didn't even do anything, but yet she gets fired. So it's I think that's why there is going to be the big rise of indie, with all sorts of things. I can definitely see it. Like, well, Ben Shapiro, isn't he doing, he had that movie with Gina Carano. He's doing movies and.
I think so. Really, yeah. The Daily Wire, whatever. Like,
yeah.
I can see more and more of that happening, just because, like, well, here's the thing. I just think that, like, all they really need is to get the right investors and all that. Because, like, let's face it, you have to get it right, because if you're an indie, you don't have the money of the big bucks, right? Which is why, you know, we were talking about earlier, you're saying Insidious and what's the other one? Sinister, right? Conjuring and all stuff. Mm-hmm. When you look at, I think it's like the Blumhouse movies, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that I think that they're great at as a production studio is, like, they keep the budget small, right? They market well, and they can, I mean, hell, go pull up the budgets for some of these movies. Like, what do you think, like, say, Sinister costs, right? What did Insidious cost, right?
Right.
These budgets are small, so it's like, you can make movies that people love, that they want to go see.
Like Joker. Joker budget was $50 million, that's it, and they made over $1 billion on that.
Isn't that crazy?
And it's kind of, to me, you can mirror that to, like, businesses. If you start a business and you have all the money in the world, most of those could fail in a certain way, because you just have too much money at the ready. Like, when you have a smaller budget, you have to focus on different areas, you know, not all the CGI and stuff. That's one thing that I think has really hurt horror, is more practical effects.
I know.
And, like, there's too much CGI now. Like, practical, because, like, to me, a practical effects, and the way horror used to be, it made you feel like this could actually happen, and this is like you're in a real thing that happened. Mm-hmm. Now you just have too much CGI that's just, you know, it just doesn't seem real anymore.
Well, it's always taking you out of the moment. And it's funny you say that, because I think the over-reliance on CGI has also kind of seeped into our regular world, because when we see things now, because, like I said, it's overproduced, we don't get that sense that it could be real. I'm looking at Insidious. The budget for the original Insidious is $1.5 million, but the movie grossed $97 million worldwide.
Wow.
That's return on investment. You know what I mean? When you're making money almost 100-fold. So it's like, we're going to get more of that, I think, in the future. Because let's face it, you and I both know horror movies are the cheapest movies to make by far, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's cheap. If you're smart with a budget, you can make a horror movie under $1 million. I mean, Paranormal Activity costs X amount of thousands of dollars, right? And gross like $200 million.
Yeah.
These movies cost nothing to make.
$50,000 or something.
Yeah, they basically paid for the cameras, right? That was
pretty much it. Yeah, that was basically it, yeah.
Pay for the cameras and I think like probably boom mics. You're going to need the sound. And that's it. Mm-hmm. And then that's your movie, right? And you just kind of work around the cameras. And, you know, one of the things that I think that as we get into, you know, our society at large, right, what do you think is the most disturbing aspect of our current society? Like that is like it's leading to kind of like an exploration of horror and in that realm, right?
I would say the acceptance of violence. I think the media, there's no one like, no one's being held accountable anymore for their violence, whether even if they're breaking in a store, you know, or they're beating people on the street. It's just like no one, there's no accountability anymore. They just feel like they can just do whatever they want.
Yep.
And, well, I'm Christian, so I think it's, I've always been saying it's the end times, especially now, just because Satan is just having fun making people just want to do evil things.
People are losing their minds out here, man.
They are. I mean, they are.
They're and, really losing their minds.
And social media also, like, so see, they'll do something like that. They'll put it on social media. Then they'll get endorphins from all the likes and retweets. And, you know, they stay in their little echo chambers. And it just, it's sad to see the way the world has gotten.
Well, it basically feeds itself, right? It's kind of like an endless feedback loop, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, I look at like some of the things they said, like that's going on in society and how that's going to affect our future. Because let's face it, the more fatherless boys you have, the more women that you have, I think you're going to start seeing more movies when it comes to like the female killer is going to be analogous to something like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Audition, right?
I haven't actually. I'm going to look it up.
It's a, I think almost it came out of Japan. I'm like 90% sure it was out of Japan. I know it came out of Asia. Japan,
oh, 99? Korea. The 99 film?
Yep. And the chick is super creepy, man. But like, once again.
Oh, that reminds me of like The Ring.
The Ring, right? Like those cautionary tales.
Oh,
like,
it's so scary. Yeah.
Do you remember when like the Japanese horror thing kind of first came over here, right? When you started having Asian horror, because like, you know, their brand of horror is so different. What do you think of the Japanese do? Because like, they seem to, if you haven't noticed, a lot of times they have female protagonists and they get them right because they're not woke, crazy feminist chicks.
I think it's just because, isn't it? Because Hollywood just doesn't want to make women actually the bad guy. Like,
yep.
Because like, even in Marvel, even if the bad person is a woman, they'll end up just being like, oh, they're okay. Like the like Wanda, you know, the Scarlet Witch.
I heard the new like, Doctor with Strange.
Yeah, with Doc. Well, I haven't seen the new movie, but like with her show, you know, she made these people, you know, stay like she like mind controlled all these people and they had no free agency. And that's like the whole entire thing. And then you find out at like towards the end, she's like even separated all the kids from their parents the whole time as well. Cause I was wondering where all the kids were. But then like the superheroes are just like, oh, it's okay. You didn't know what you were doing. You know, you went through, you know what I mean? It's just like, that's what they're doing to women. I think that you can't, they won't actually make one like Japan will do. Like I actually just saw The Train to Busan. Have you seen that?
No, I heard like that's one of those ones that's always kind of like been in the back of my mind. Every time someone says it, I'm like, damn, I haven't seen it yet. Is it on Netflix?
I watched it a week ago. Let me see where it was. Where it? Oh, was it on?
Write it down.
Let me see. It was. I watched it last week, and it was actually amazing. I forgot. I was on It's on Peacock.
Okay, I'll wait till it comes on. Something I actually do have.
Right.
Look, that's one of the worst things, right? Is that these movies keep like moving all the time, so you never know. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, shit. It's on Amazon this week. It's on somewhere else next month, all that. In, you know, it's like, okay, our society keeps getting, like you said, it's getting like crazier and crazier. I think the desensitization has actually affected how we view like gruesome violence and death, right? Like, I used to kind of notice that everyone's just kind of like become numb, not just to violence, but like to life, right? Like
to everything, Well, even woke stuff, people have like just, you know, if you see too much woke stuff, even if it's subtle, you'll just be like, you'll accept more things that are woke. I've noticed myself a few shows that I like, and it's like, oh, I really shouldn't like this.
Well, back in the day, I think that if you tried to do like something that was truly woke, I think people would have just kind of like rebelled against, like, because I mean, think about it.
Yeah, you know,
you hear a line that's like way out of bounds, right? Like, it comes out of left field, and someone like bashes a white guy or something, and you're kind of like, where the hell did that come from? Because like, it doesn't fit the, you know, it's they stand out because they don't fit the tone of the movie, right? Or the show. You're like, okay, everyone's kind of like, they live in this world, they inhabit this world. Out of nowhere, random things happen. Where all of a sudden, I'm like, Clea, what's going on with this? Why is this person just acting crazy for no reason? Saying things that, because it's out of character. And it's like, oh, I get it. You know, it's almost like a checklist, right? Like seven woke things have to be said within, you know, 2 hour movie or something. It's like, oh, well, here we go. Now, when it comes to the audience, though, I want to ask. So from an audience standpoint, right? What do you think is our fascination with the macabre, the disturbing, the gruesome, the all of that?
Well, I would say it's probably because it's something we would never do. So we're fascinated to see, for me at least, just to see how, like, for example, the Purge movies, you know, people want that today. They're like, oh, people would actually love the Purge to actually happen in the U.S., which is like, no, you don't. Have you seen those
Purge movies? I saw the original, so disappointed because, like, the premise was so great. And the original really was let down. I think I may have seen one other one. I saw one where they're like, in the hood. Fuck, which one was that?
Yeah.
The first Purge. Yeah. Yeah, it's called The First Purge. I saw it on TV. I can't remember if I saw any of the other one. I do remember for a fact I saw the original in theaters though with Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, it was a good premise. It's too bad the way that they handled it. Oh,
the execution was F minus. It's like, ha, you have this great premise.
Because that's
you
a fresh great idea. Actor,
fresh idea, and just
So we were talking about the dissented world. What was your question? Yeah, that's right.
So our fascination, right? Like, so we have this fascination with it, right? Like, I mean, like, here's the thing. We're like, I remember watching, like, you know, documentaries about serial killers, things like that, and you know, that kind of like leads into the very nature of true crime. Like, what do you think about, you know, because I mean, you and I both know. A lot of things that's going on right now, right? People just doing crazy stuff. They're malfunctioning, right? MK Ultra babies. As they malfunction, do crazy stuff, these are going to be the true crime stories that are going to be on, you know, whatever, you know, platform 5, 10, 20 years from now, right?
Yeah.
Because in the moment, it's just a crazy story for the moment. But like years later, you know, America's still standing. Someone's going to look back like, yo, this was a crazy time, Clea. Like people were really doing... I mean, you know, think about it. We look back at like the Salem Witch trials. We're all kind of like, how did this even happen, right?
Seriously,
how did we get this crazy? Like no one stopped to say, wait, what are we doing, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where we're at now. Like, as a society, we're at a point where, like you said, there's no accountability. People are just running wild and reckless, doing whatever. And like no one stops to, like, you know, have common sense and go, look, guys, this is crazy, right? This is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, they're all just so accepting of it and just join in because they're trying to fit in. That's with a lot of things today. They just are trying. Yeah, it's...
Well, you can almost imagine, like, it's almost like the person doing all the evil is almost like looking over at him like, no one's going to stop me? Like, left, right, center, like, well, let me continue. Because back in the day, I mean, if you think about it, I think that's why all of the, you know, you think about serial killers and everything, they moved at night. They weren't just grabbing people, you know, snatching them out of the day. They didn't operate, you know, it's almost like they knew what they were doing was wrong. There was lots of shame and there'd be consequences. Now, do you notice a lot of these crimes are during the day?
Yeah, they are.
Every time somebody wants to go and grab an assault rifle, what happens? It's during the daytime hours. It's not never at night. Right?
The only one I would think of is Ted Bundy. He did pick up women during the day, but he, you know, took them back, I'm sure.
Yeah, pretended to be injured and all this other stuff. Which I've always said is like a great introduction into the mind. And let me ask you this. What do you think goes on through these people's heads, right? Like, I want you to kind of put them on the couch. How do you view that?
Serial killers?
Yeah, just a lot of these people out here, like mass the mass eaters, the serial killers, everybody that's doing, you know, like, what do you think is like their motivation, how they go about doing it? Because
I think they're unhappy in their own lives.
Oh, definitely.
But what were you going to say? Sorry.
Well, you know, okay, it's funny you say they're unhappy because the flip side to that coin, when we watch all of this stuff, do you think it's healthy for us to fantasize about this stuff? Because, like, I mean, I'm sure you know, a lot of people watch movies, whether, you know, whether it's horror, action, whatever, and they fantasize about, like, you know, especially revenge flicks, right? People are always kind of like, man, I would love to do X, Y, and Z to, you know, these people. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was talking to my friend. He's a video game developer, and we were talking about it would be really cool to have like a video game, because we were watching the first season of American Horror Story and it's been out for a while. It doesn't matter if I spoil it. Like the family ends up all, you know, dead in the house, mm-hmm. but the couple, he had cheated on her and that's why they moved to that house to try and fix their marriage. But when they were ghosts, they like killed each other brutally, like in front of the new family to try and scare them out, you know, and to leave. So they didn't, you know, end up like them.
Oh, really?
And so I was like I was like, that would be a cool video game if you could like go in and like do whatever you want to your spouse in a video game. Do you know what I mean? Take out your anger and be like,
oh, wow.
You know what I mean? I thought that would be actually an interesting then you have
like the other players would be like the ones trying to like basically survive.
Yeah.
I
was thinking of like an afterlife video game, like where you die and you have different powers. Cause like mm-hmm. that's how it was in the first season of American Horror Story, is each of those ghosts had different things that they could do. Like the maid, she could like make her appearance look super young or old. Like she was like kind of like a shapeshifter almost kind of a thing. So I think a video game where you die, but you don't even get to pick your power. You just die and you just get a random thing and you have to like haunt the house or something. I don't know. I love video games. So I want more horror, good horror.
There's, you know, and there's like not enough.
Dead by Daylight. Dead by Daylight is not even good.
I've heard of that one. I didn't know I think I bought it for my daughter actually. I think I got her Dying Light, but I can't remember which one I got her, but I got her one, something that involved light or something. But, you know, when it comes to this, though, you're talking about the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about spirituality in our lives in terms of how we're going to deal with all of this, like, you know, the death, the decay, social decay and otherwise? What do you think about that? Like, you know, do you think there's other forces out here that are playing a role in all this?
I do. I think a lot of this will bring a lot of people to faith. The ones that weren't even at all, like the, because they're some people will be driven to have more faith instead of non-believers. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy how evil the world has gotten in the last 2 years. It's just turned into chaos, and then you've got just the leader, the government is just, even them has gotten even, I mean, they've always been bad, but either side, but yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? I never thought I would live to see the world this bad.
Yeah, you know, I want to ask you about that, to piggyback on that, right? So if you were to ask somebody, like, and this kind of goes into, I remember watching Batman Begins for the first time, and you know, Lieutenant Gordon talks to Batman about escalation, right?
Yeah.
If you think back, I don't think, you know, you can go to any era and like no one thinks it could get this bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as bad as it is right now, like let's just say the country lives another, let's say 50 years, right? If you think it's now, imagine where it would be in 50 years, right?
Yeah.
Like isn't, and that's,
we're
going to
pray
saying,
for this day, even today. We're going to be like, man, I wish it wasn't.
I wish, dude, man, here we are.
Let's do it again.
Oh, yeah. Man, if it was 2022, man, things weren't even that bad, right? Like, I mean, you could only get canceled off, you know, online if you said, you know, 5 gamer words, right? Now it's anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, like to me, that is actually much more terrifying. Like, I remember when the original Terminator came out, all, you know, way back in 84, right? By the time Terminator. I was old enough to see it, because, you know, the original Terminator was made like a horror movie. You know, it was not sci-fi. It's true. I mean, Arnold's character, the Terminator, is a horror villain.
Well, he's terrifying. Terrifying. In his own right. Yeah, in his way. Because you're just like, it's this unstoppable force that's coming at you. And you're just you're screwed.
Speaking of getting canceled, Brawley had his Twitch account taken down today.
Oh, no, really?
Because we were all chatting in his Discord, and he was piping the Discord into his Twitch chat, into his Twitch stream, and someone said the word transvestite, and he got flagged and taken off Twitch.
How does that affect him?
Believe me, Twitch is even worse than Susan.
Gee,
it is.
You have to dick down Jeff Bezos at some point.
Wow, really? So let me get straight. So a person that's not you can just say, okay, but hold on. If that's true, then what about Amaranth? Does someone just come on Amaranth's stream and just say something that she is? You didn't know.
She doesn't let, like, it was someone in talking on his voice channel.
Oh, that's weak.
I don't think she lets anyone talk on her streams.
Oh.
But by the way, hold that over Neo's head next time you see him.
Wow, damn. Well, now, Kalia, let me ask you this. Do you think that, like, in that regard, you know, there's that show Black Mirror. Do you think that that's like the next evolution of what horror and suspense is? Because let's face it, the real world and what's coming is kind of like even scarier than like any masked killer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, big tech, globalism, censorship. I mean, in that show, I was seeing some things that were so creepy. And, you know, and that's the reason why I say there's ways that you can use technology in horror or suspense that it really works. And I think Black Mirror really lands that.
I haven't seen Black Mirror.
Oh, yeah. Great, great show.
It's on Netflix. Should I? Are you talking about the TV show? Yeah, I guess it's just a TV show.
Yeah. It has X amount of seasons.
Okay, so it's saying it's a reworking of the Twilight Zone. I love
it. Is
Twilight Zone, and did you ever see Fringe?
No. Saw Twilight Zone. Never heard of it. What is Fringe? Never heard of it.
You should see. Yeah, Fringe is great. It came out in 2008. It's like a Twilight Zone, like a it'd be more like a the X-Files. Mm-hmm. Be more like it. That's what Fringe is. It's just. It's actually a really great show. I would recommend it. I think it's on Prime, maybe.
Hmm.
It's really neat. It's a division of the FBI called the Fringe Division, and they investigate. It's her and it's actually kind of neat. The doctor that helps with all these theories and these weird cases, like there's time travel. There's like a whole nother parallel universe down the line. Damn. Like it's actually really, really well written. I've heard some people say if you don't want to like watch all of the X-Files, you know, because they have so many seasons.
Yep.
It's to just watch Fringe. And I actually agree. Oh, wow. So.
Yeah, I don't think I had heard
you like stuff. So you like the X-Files and stuff like that, like where there's like weird things that happen and they try to investigate it.
Yeah, because like that's one of the things that when I was watching Stranger Things with my daughter, mm-hmm. I liked that it wasn't always the powers that be that was investigating. It's the mm-hmm. kids, which of course is even more terrifying because like, you know, they're more vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that like when it comes to anything that is the unknown, I just think that the unknown naturally works. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this question. The topic always comes up about, like, you know, horror movies, and sometimes you go, well, it's not a true horror movie. What do you think about the difference between horror and suspense?
Well, see, it's tough because there's so many different types of horror.
Mm-hmm.
But the suspense would be, to me, a suspense isn't even scary at all, though. Like, would you think a suspense would be even scary?
I think sometimes it can be somewhat subjective, right? So, like, prime example. I would view The Silence of the Lambs as a suspense movie, not a true horror movie. You see what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah. It has horror elements, though.
It's horrifying.
Yeah. It's
what
like,
happens in that movie is horrifying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, so, Tim, if someone asks you, do you consider The Silence of the Lambs a true horror movie? Because, you know, it's a crime thriller. It's suspense. I don't quite know what doesn't qualify to be horror, but like something about the movie, I don't know. It feels like more on the line of suspense. Whereas, like, no, you watch Sinister, right? And Sinister feels like a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Insidious feels like a horror movie.
And then it's kind of like Aliens feels like a horror movie, but I mean, Alien does, and then Aliens is more of an action. I would say that's more action. Well, it's kind of horror, the second one, but yeah.
It's like action suspense, kind of like thriller, even kind of, you know, because it has horrifying elements.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think at this point we've seen the Alien, so you have to up the ante, so you up the firepower. Mm-hmm. And it became more like a survivalist thing, similar to like Predator, right?
It did seem like Predator, yeah.
Yeah, they get the Space Marines get offed one by one, right?
Yeah, it's so awesome.
So the question is, how are they going to get yeeted? How are we going to get off this thing? And then was it the mother was there, right? At the end where Ripley is fighting. So yeah, and Ripley is our final girl, right? So it has the same elements. Yeah. I just love the fact that like prime example, the movie Seven. I view Seven as a suspense movie, not horror.
Oh, it's suspense. I wasn't scared at all in that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you wouldn't watch Seven and be like, oh, jump scare. You know what I mean? It's usually... Yeah.
I'd say it'd be like a psychological...
Correct.
...suspense thriller kind of a movie more than horror. Yeah.
Do you always find that kind of rough when you have to recommend movies to people? Because I've had that happen where people are like, no, Kalia, I don't like anything that's scary. It's like, you have to be like, no, it's not scary. It looks scary from the trailer. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You know, those kind of people where you're like, you have to like break down, like, look, it's not, well, does anyone get killed? I can't spoil the movie. And oh, God.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this. What do you think is it that makes people, especially, like I said, I didn't even see the notice more with women, although these guys are so full of estrogen now, they're scared all the time, too. What do you think makes people afraid of horror movies?
Well, let's see. I guess I can use slashers as an example, probably because, because to me, I'm not scared in slashers. I guess I should use The Conjuring for me. Mm-hmm. To me, that has always scared me because it's actually based on a true story. Obviously, I know it's, but I think a lot of stuff like that has actually really happened. Not like to that effect, obviously, in The Conjuring, but to me, when it's like a real life, like, you know, someone being possessed, because I believe people can, you know, be possessed by a demon. And so for me personally, just it terrifies me because I know that that's real. The slashers, I mean, I get, slashers, I don't. I'm trying to, it has to be something, real for me at least. What about you? Because not all horror is actually scary.
Yeah, I think there's different levels to horror.
There's campy horror, too, which is great.
Yeah, campy horror works. So something hit me about horror movies, though. I think that horror movies have a certain level of subjectivity to them where it's like this. I can watch The Exorcist, and as a non-religious person, the movie just doesn't click for me, right? Because of
that. Exactly, yeah.
But then someone else can watch let's say a slasher. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, someone maybe survived an attack. A slasher movie is terrifying, right? Because it's real to them. Just like the religious movie is going to be real to you, a possession movie. Then you have, you have all these different types of films. Like I said, It Follows really did something different. You have like the Freaks of Nature, kind of, you know, like Wrong Turn. I think it was a movie. Was it U-Turn or Wrong Turn? Wrong Turn. And, you know, like, think about it. Deliverance is not a horror movie, but that's horrifying. To be in a situation where you are in redneck, what is it, West Virginia? You get captured by some dudes and you ask somebody to do some man butt love. That's horrifying as a man. Mm-hmm. You're like, dude, like, because, I mean, you think about it. If you told somebody to go out and hike in the woods right now, right? We talk about iconography all the time. If you asked a couple to hike in the woods, the guy is not terrified of a bear eating him alive. He's scared of like a Jason Voorhees type, right? What if I encounter some crazy? You see what I'm saying?
I'm afraid of gravity.
You're afraid of gravity?
There are a couple of horror movies that are based on like climbing Everest or whatever. Vertical Limit would be more of a suspense.
I was just going to mention that.
I remember that movie.
I love that movie.
I mean, I've actually lived and seen situations like that, being that high on mountains, but you know,
I had a situation like that. We have like a, I wouldn't class, we call it a cave, but it's more, I would say it's more of a crack in the earth. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's so narrow in some spots that you have to get all on your stomach and like crawl through it. And it's, there's rocks everywhere. It was, I did it with two friends. Like this was probably 10 years ago, but like we made it through one end, but like the one guy, he was like 6'5", but he was all, he also had a gut on him. So he couldn't get through this last little area.
Oh, no.
And we were all dumb because we didn't, one guy could get through and we should have called all of our families. We should have sent him out and say, hey, we're going to be like another 3 hours. We had to go all the way through, back all the way and stuff like that. I mean, it was, it was, but we were so tired at the end of getting through that cave.
Oh, I bet.
That movie, The Cave. Sorry, go ahead.
Imagine being claustrophobic and ending up in a situation like that. Like someone knocks mm-hmm. you out and throws you in a cave and yeah. you're like terrified of those tight spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the crawl space, there was a crawl space in it that was like at least 100 feet. And on the crawl space, there's all these tiny rocks, but not like inch big ones, 2 inch. And so your knees, my knees were just bruised for like a month and my arms and stuff because we didn't know that that was in that. You know, we thought it was more of a cave, not a crack in the in the earth.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was... But that's probably why I really like the movie. I think it's called, isn't it called The Cave?
There's a movie called The Cave, and there's one called The Descent.
Oh, wait, no, The Descent. Oh, I've seen that's the one. Descent. The Descent.
Oh, I love that movie. What do you think about that movie, Tim?
I mean, I don't remember it very well. I know I've seen it, though. I think, because I watch random movies that'll just be running, you know, on lazy Sundays. Mm-hmm. If you've got satellite, they'll just run a bunch of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But. Isn't there also a movie based on the coal miners that were trapped for like 80 days?
There is.
Wait, what is it called?
I don't know what it's called.
I vaguely remember that.
I would say that's the one. Again, these may not be true horror movies, but because I do have a fear of dying upside down in a fucking glacial crevice.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I don't know if that's really a phobia or a fear. That's a very rational thing to be afraid of.
But, well, yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. It's but like, I think that goes back to what I was saying. It's all subjective because if somebody doesn't go mountain climbing, like they can mm-hmm. they can look at that and go like this. Yes, that would be scary if I were there. But like deep down in their heart, they're like, I would never be in that position. Whereas like yeah. like Kalia mm-hmm. says about watching The Exorcist, if you're religious, The Exorcist is terrifying.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It'd be your version of the cave.
Yeah.
And that's a rough way to go, by the way. Like,
I was actually, because I was talking to Brawley in our, you remember George, we interviewed right on the first episode. Yeah, I was talking to those guys, and I was telling them the story of a guy who fell off Snow Dome, which is just north of here, a huge glacial field. He was climbing a mountain, and the cornice they were walking on collapsed. And he fell 1,000 meters down and landed upside down in a crevice, and it just wedged him.
There was somebody ready to get him out?
No. The crevice swallowed him, spit his body out 21 years later.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, like the ice melted, and it was just his body just laying on the rock.
Oh.
Wow.
Like, what a way to go. And he said, his climbing partner said, as the wind howled that night, because they both fell, but one of them fell all the way to the bottom. The other one just kind of tumbled onto some rocks. They were both badly hurt, right? So the buddy's like, I can't do anything. I have to, like, call for rescue, and I mm-hmm. just have to sit here and listen to my friend all the way down at the bottom yelling for help as he's, like, upside down in an ice cave.
Oh, no.
William Holland. Look at
that's a horrible death.
Yeah, and the climbing buddy survived, and then Holland died.
Ugh.
And the buddy, I forget his name, but the buddy says like that it haunts him to this day. Every time the wind blows, he can hear Holland calling for help.
Oh, I bet, like, because you know those kind of stories that you know you survive from. I mean, like. Even in the New Texas Chainsaw Massacre, right? The girl is a survivor of a school shooting, which, of course, is kind of a woke whatever, but still. But you're always traumatized. It doesn't matter, you know, even fiction and nonfiction. Like when you go through certain things, man, like it's always there, right? Kind of like
survivor's guilt.
The survivor's guilt. Survivor's
guilt is well documented.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it just that's a horrible way to go, though.
Oh,
I mean, how long is it gonna do to die?
They don't know.
Oh.
He couldn't do an autopsy. They couldn't find a body.
Well, it's where there's ice, so he probably died 3 days. Probably no more than 3. Depends on how cold the temperatures got.
Well, yeah. And they were prepared for the elements too. They were wearing giant like mountaineering suits.
Okay, so he could last at least 30 days. You can go, but he hasn't. If he was breaking ice off to drink, at least then he could last that long. But I doubt it.
My guess was, though, the violence of the fall would have been the cause of death. He would have bled out from internal.
Oh, yeah.
I hope.
That's hopefully.
I hope still, he, like, that was wasn't slow suffering and long. Yeah, that,
and he could not move. He didn't just fall 3 feet. He fell 3,000 feet.
Yeah.
So you think of how fast you're falling at that, and you just get, and he literally just, like, he swished a glacier crevice. And so the crevice, all crevices are V-shaped, right?
Yeah.
So eventually he just got deep enough that it wedged him in. But the violence of the fall meant that he was solid, stuck.
Yep.
Oh, I bet he died instantly then. I bet
he did not die instantly.
Because he was screaming. Because he's screaming.
Oh. Yeah.
So he must have lasted a while. I wonder how long that while was.
And he probably got like squeezed in sideways too, right? Because he still could yell, which means he could still breathe.
Right,
so he
probably
got wedged in by his shoulders.
Oh.
But
you imagine going like that?
The violence of the collision meant that he probably was not going to survive. It just meant that it was a long and very
long. So yeah. Ooh. Oh,
that's like one of those scary story.
Yeah, yeah. You because
truth,
like,
truth.
Yeah, scarier. Because it's real. Like, I mean, look, I watched that show, worst roommate ever, right? And they're true stories. It's always more shocking when you are dealing with a story that's true, right? I think that's why we're always enamored with true crime, right? Because knowing that something actually happened, when you start hearing stories, and especially when it's like something really horrible, and you start to close your eyes and you imagine what, and this kind of goes with what Kalia was saying, what would I be thinking, right? What if I were in this situation?
Yeah.
You know, The Black Phone actually does a really good job of that. If you haven't seen that movie,
what was it?
The Black Phone.
Oh, I haven't. Oh, yeah, that's right. You told me to.
Yeah. I think it nails that that anxiety and that fear very well because you are stuck.
What year is? I mean, I know it just came out, but I mean, in the
movie.
Oh, it's
set in the. I want to say it might be set in the late 70s, maybe?
It looks like it, even from the poster.
Yeah,
that
late
70s. Yeah.
And when you're in the situation that this kid is in who's kidnapped, I mean, you know, to this day, I still think about Jacob Wetterling, you know, because he was our ghost story in Minnesota, you know.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, anytime you hear about like a high-profile case where a kid was kidnapped, you know, I think they discovered the body because like they found the guy or you know, something, right? Like 30 years later, right? You just imagine though, right? You're sitting there and you're with your friends and then like a kidnapper grabs one of the kids and you never see your best friend again, ever. You know?
Yeah.
You always have to imagine what could be happening to him, right? Is he in some creep's basement? You remember that story out of Ohio, the Amanda Berry case, where she was like locked in the basement with I think one or two other girls for years, and they ended up catching the guy.
But then, there's the alternate angle too, because God, I wish I could think of a specific case, but I do know like sometimes if a woman miscarries, she just gets like all messed up in the head, and she will literally just take an infant and claim it as her own, and she'll raise it properly, right? Feed it, clothe it, education, everything. It's just that part of the brain that says, like, that's not my kid is totally broken in this woman, right? There are a couple of cases like that, too, where it's like, oh, yeah, the kid, like, grew up and went to high school and then found out, like, he's 21 or something and found out that he was kidnapped when he was 6 months old.
Well, I mean, you got Stockholm syndrome now, too. What's that? You know what I mean? You had Stockholm syndrome. I mean, she can fall for... Well, if you were
too young to understand, right? Like, think of what age is your earliest memory? Most people, it's like 4 or 5.
Four or five.
So if whatever happened was before that, and the only thing you remember is, yes, this is the only woman I've ever known in my life.
Yep. Ugh. Well, and that's the horror, I think, of, like, life, right? Like, life offers horror, right?
Yeah.
Situational, whether you get stuck in a crevice and die slowly in the most miserable way possible. Like, I mean, you think about how some of these are. That's why I said, like, I can close my eyes, man, and I imagine, I envision it. I remember seeing the movie Apocalypto with Nick. And people get it bad in that movie, man. They get it real bad.
Yeah.
Being a blood sacrifice. How would you like that, Tim? That happened in the movie The Green Inferno, by the way. Eli Roth. Hostel. Khalid, do you remember the movie Hostel? Hostel?
I know Hostel. I'm trying to remember exactly.
They go touring in Europe. They think everything is just going to be like sex and fun. And then it's not.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They get, they get caught up in a whole crazy...
Over in Europe.
They're over in Europe. Like, you think, imagine being in that scenario.
Drex, the Beauty and the Beast core story, backstories from Guns of the Patriot.
Yeah.
You remember those?
Yeah, each one of them had some horrible stories, like Laughing Octopus. You have to laugh at your family members being yeeted.
Have you seen the 128 Hours?
I heard about that. Was James Franco, right?
Yeah, that was in a park really near to me. I'm in Utah, so that was the guy who
sawed his arm off to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
when that happened, I was like, oh, it reminded me of the first Saw movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah, with the foot with Carrie Ells. Like, that is. I mean, like I said, it's easy to, you know, when you watch on a movie, it's still painful, but when you know that it happened in real life, it's like. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. That knife, I'm assuming, wasn't that big, right?
You mean 120 hours?
Yeah.
What happened then?
It was a hunter's knife, right?
I think it was. Yeah,
was it a hunter's knife or a Swiss knife?
I think it was
knife?
Just like a... Yeah, it could have been that. It was some pocket knife.
But you would have to feel it.
The biggest pocket knife I've seen is maybe like maximum 5 inches.
Yeah. But you have to feel that, right? As you're sawing your arm, you feel it. It's like, oh.
I do think there's a point where you just become numb to it. Like,
yeah, I hope.
You'll feel the first couple of, you know. Like, so, Drex, I always, whenever I'm out in the wilderness, I bring, these are called fillet knives.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a flesh paring knife. It's made for filleting fish, right?
Fish, yep.
But, if you need to amputate something, this will do the job. These things are sharp as hell.
Look, man.
But also, look at the size of it, too.
Yeah. I remember selling those when I sold cutlery at Cutco years ago. That's just not a good way to go for your arm. I mean, because like I said, you're looking at it. Like, I mean, like, you know, let me ask you this, Cleo. What do you think about the very nature of like looking at something horrific, right? Versus like hearing about it. You hear it secondhand. It's on the news. Like you're actually like living it.
I think it changes you mentally. You run the risk of having PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can have it. I don't think you have to, you know, be in the military to have PTSD. I think there's lots of other ways. Because typically, I hear more about, you know, the military having PTSD than anything else. Like I actually have. I only have, it's a stupid PTSD, but it was actually from a movie. It was with Jeremy Renner and there's a, grape scene. That's how you say it on. Yeah, it was, what happens during the movie. And I don't know. I think it was the first one I had ever seen in a movie. And it kind of gives me PTSD if I think about the movie. I was trying to remember what movie that was.
Your brain blocked it out.
We need to call Ken Jennings in to do some therapy.
Therapy session. Yeah. Get on the couch.
It's a stupid thing that's like some movie, but I couldn't ever, I can't watch it ever again though. Because it was a true story about Native Americans and how, if you actually look at the statistics, like there's like a huge number of women and Native Americans that go missing. It's crazy.
Yeah, the missing and murdered Indigenous women. That's a that's a Canadian thing. There was also a documentary about the residential school systems. Drex, when the Native kids would get to school, the nuns would tell them that they immediately had to go clean themselves to wash the brown off their skin.
Wow. I love how it's nuns saying this, right? Like, let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, oh, yeah. I mean, how prevalent is it, Tim? Like, what are the numbers of missing Native women?
God, if you give me like a minute to, while you talk about something else, I can actually pull up the official, because they did like a royal commission on this thing. Oh. So they have the numbers.
They have numbers, and I can't remember what state it. So I found the movie with Jeremy Renner. It's called Wind River. And they
I did see that movie. My brother watched it. Yeah, yeah. Because is that with Elizabeth Olsen?
Yes, and they say I did see statistics it. Of I can't remember what state they were in. Were they in like Colorado or
It looked like somewhere kind of like Alaska, not Alaska, but Utah-ish.
Oh, it's actually Wyoming.
Wyoming, okay, yeah.
So it was Wyoming, okay. Well, so you like did see that. So do you remember the movie much?
I didn't see that scene, though, luckily. My brother had it on, so you know you walk in and out of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was that weird movie. That's the only one that I've had PTSD in, but... back to when you were saying about, that's what we were talking about, like seeing violence and how that desensitizes us. It's bad to look at like real, like violence, like real gore and like a murder, you know, it can affect you. I think mentally, I think it can change.
Well, hell, it affects you just even watching a show like Snapped and they talk about crime scenes, right? You're like, mm-hmm. wait, what? Like, I mean, hell, Jodi Arias, right? Jodi Arias was Psycho.
Yeah.
They said that crime scene was not pretty. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it was like 30 plus times of getting shanked, and it's just craziness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, that's a scary thought. You know what I mean? Just that there's someone out there that's that crazy enough to do that to you. And it's mm-hmm. always someone that's close to you, right? A boyfriend, girlfriend, a family member. You know, JonBenet never came home, allegedly. You know, just all these things where it's like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, Nick always says, like, everyone's, like, one day away from snapping, you know. And
they are.
Doing something like that. So
I've always believed that. Like, I didn't understand that when I was younger. But you get to a certain age where you realize it. You're like, no. Everyone's on the brink. Every single person is like, mm-hmm. they're just like you know, that was the whole Joker thing, right? The Killing Joke mm-hmm. of everyone's one bad day away from becoming what he is. And, you know, like I said, as a kid, you think, oh, no. You know, the Joker's just crazy. And, like, all of a sudden you get older, you start seeing things. Hence the expression going postal, right?
Yeah.
It's bottled up, and then something triggers you. And then, like, people just snap, man. And mm-hmm. I just think so many people are on the brink of doing something crazy. But Kalia, I will get you out of here with this question. If there's one horror movie you would recommend not watching, what would it be?
Not watching ever. Let's see. That I would probably, gosh. Well, there's so many of them that are like low budget that are indie and just kind of just horrible. There's tons of those that you could always say. I mean, but you're talking about like probably like some popular one not to watch.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, bad is bad.
Yeah, gosh, I'm trying to see if I could think of one never to watch. What would be the reasoning to not watch it? Just because it's bad, I guess, maybe? Yeah,
not awesomely bad, just bad. Like, Jack Frost is terrible. The Ginger Dead Man is terrible.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Was that movie 13 Ghosts? The remake was terrible. There's a lot of movies that are just bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to... Oh, the movie earlier that I was saying that's like the Candyman. Remember when I was talking about like real life? The new one.
How bad is it? Candyman.
I haven't seen the new one.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
I remember when the old one came.
I would say, you know what? I would actually say Cloverfield would be one I would say no one to watch unless you like the found footage type.
I actually liked Cloverfield.
You did?
I thought it was something different.
I was weird. I like Cloverfield Lane though, which was weird.
Yeah, yeah. I love Cloverfield Lane. Obviously, the ending, you know, depending on how you view the movie, because obviously they forced that in due to Cloverfield. But I think it still worked. John Goodman was great in that movie, by the way.
Yeah, I would say any remake, for the most part.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah,
most of them have been terrible. Did you find it, Tim?
Yeah, I found something, all right. All right. According to the report, 1,017 indigenous women and girls were murdered between 1980 and 2012, a homicide rate roughly 4.5 times higher than all other women in Canada.
Damn.
Indigenous people make up, 4.9% of Canada's population.
Mm-hmm.
But they're killed at 4 times higher than any other race.
Wow.
That's awful, man.
This caused a lot of controversy in the previous government because they had resisted the calls for this official commission, saying that we had all the data necessary. And then the minister comes out and says, well, according to the RCMP, our federal police, your version of the FBI, mm-hmm. Or our version of the FBI, they 70% of murdered indigenous women, of which there was someone convicted of the murder, 70% of them were indigenous men.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused a lot of problems because you can't go blaming indigenous men for murdered indigenous women.
Of course not.
Because then you can't claim racism.
Of course.
Now,
yeah, it's all about that narrative.
Now, there is one exception to that. There is a place called the Highway of Tears. It's a highway in British Columbia from Prince George out to the Pacific Ocean where up to 40 women disappeared in a 20-year span.
Oh.
Many of the crimes have never been solved.
Ugh.
In fact, there is a chance that there is a serial killer that they just have not caught.
Just never caught.
Probably died of old age.
Dude, I just saw one that was in Russia. It was on TV. The guy, he did like 78 people, no lie. 78. It's like, damn. Like, yeah, I mean, that's why I say, man, people need to stay safe and definitely keep your head on a swivel because, like, so many things can happen now. Because, I mean, let's face it, things were happening back then. It was harder to track people down before DNA evidence, before whatever.
Yeah.
It's just gotten crazy. Khalil, I'll give you the last word.
The last word? I was just going to mention a couple of movies that I wouldn't recommend watching would be the La Llorona and the... I know that you liked it. You and Nick did the Malignant.
Yeah, I thought it... a lot of people didn't like it. It
was predictable. Now, you could see... I knew what was going to happen the first 5 minutes when they kind of show that little bit.
I just thought, here's why I gave Malignant credit.
Mm-hmm.
At least he tried something different than just like, standard, horror, slasher or whatever. Like, at least they just tried something different. I'm not saying it landed, mm-hmm. but I'm still entertained by it. Like, it definitely had its flaws, though.
Yeah. It had a good, that one scene in the police station was like.
Oh, that was excellent.
I think that was worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Well, yeah. Well, Khalia, thanks for coming on, man. Talking movies, horror in particular, one of my favorite genres ever.
Mine too. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on, both of you.
Indeed. Anything to plug? Anywhere that someone can find you in Yap Movies?
I'm on Twitter at Khalia the Vampire.
Of course.
I love Vampire. No. Good. No.
You just gained cool points.
Vampires don't sparkle, Drex.
Oh, God. Oh, the sparkle.
Drex, one of the oldest horror tropes in history, vampires hate sunlight, and they just shit all over it.
Yeah, that's why I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula to renew my faith.
They could have at least done a Vampire Diaries thing where they have like a ring that they wear to help protect them in the, they have a witch make a ring for them to be in the sunlight. At least there's something there, but Twilight is a sparkle skin.
The movie is so bad. But yeah, Khalia, thanks for coming on. Tim, any words you want to say?
No, not really. Guys, don't fall off mountains.
Hell no,
you it don't. Sucks. Drex, you have a really long time to think about the mistakes you made in your life when you fall off.
Oh, yeah.
And you're falling for, what is it, the 3,300 feet.
Well, I just don't want to know what that impact feels like, because I know that that has got to be like the biggest crunch. I mean, like, just, I mean, like, it's a cartoon level, right? Like, you just, your body goes like, ah, it's like, oh.
Well, the 9/11 jumpers might be a frame of reference for that.
Yeah.
Bodies do bounce if they drop from high enough.
Yeah, that's rough.
But now I got this knowledge secondhand. I don't know if it's true or if someone was just messing with me, but. I heard that when you suffer a fall like that, at some point on the way down, you have a heart attack.
Like, yeah, your body gives out. And like,
yeah, your body just like yeets itself before you feel.
Yeah, yeah. It's a coping mechanism. Yeah, I could see that. But I mean, we still see people's bodies move, right? We see people's bodies still move on their way down. So maybe.
That could just be like, unconscious twitching or whatever.
Could be.
You could go into a seizure on the way down. How would you know the difference?
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. I've seen it, though, like where people's, their bodies are still moving. You're like, oh, okay. They're, conscious enough, but ugh.
If I ever fall off a mountain and I've got, what is it, 18 seconds to think about it, first I'll acknowledge how beautiful the scenery looks, and then I'll just close my eyes and say, you know what? I died doing what I loved.
Yeah. On that note, but thanks everybody for we left you on that very sour note right there. But yeah, thanks for everybody coming in. Like I said, definitely a mix up of just yapping about some fun stuff, and the genre that we love as society is turning into a damn freak horror show.
Yeah. All right, everyone. We'll see you next week. Until then, stay frosty.
Stay toxic, kings.
Speaking of movie talk, we have the separate channel for Arcade. We could make another channel for like Midtown Cinema.
Yeah, right. Maybe roll with that.
And just
I'll run it by the guys in the Discord and see if they want to. There's like certain like watch parties or something they want to kind of set.
Yeah, because we can. I have an Amazon Prime subscription. We can do watch parties. The problem with that Nick had cited how you do watch parties remotely. I can fix that. I have the technology. He's a boomer. I'm not.
Nice.